it's time for Arts Live and Local. So, another full show. We have lots of visual arts and crafts. We have the textile show, the phone home. I should have put these together. New Man, that's me. Wait, no. New Man is being shown at the Liberty, and Bruce Hulbert hopefully will make it here, flying into the Portland Airport and hopefully coming straight here to Arts Live and Local. Let's start out with a little music from Holly Neer. No doubt you all know that she is going to be here on Thursday, October 18th at the Coaster Theater. The show begins at 8 p.m. The tickets are $25 and they are available at Cloud and Leaf Bookstore in Manzanita, Beach Books in Seaside, and right here at the station, even right now. 503-325-0010 or check it out, coastradio.org. And ordinarily, we don't give prices on this show, but when it's a KMUN event, all bars are held or all holds are barred or whatever it is. I want to play a song for you that is not by Holly, but it's one of my favorite people. That's Jacques Brel. This is by Eric Blau and Jacques Brel. Carousel. It sometimes feels we are on one here in our country. Whether you're going round and round, or whether you're high up in the air, I hope you will join Coast Community Radio to see this incredible performer who has influenced so many people and saved a bunch of lives as well. Holly Neer, again, Thursday, October 18th. You can call us right now, 503-325-0010, or Cloud and Leaf Bookstore in Manzanita, or Beach Books in Seaside can get you your tickets. So, my first guests, well, I tried it. I thought maybe they went round and round, but, you know, it's not seeming to work so well. So, I will let them speak for themselves. Kala is featuring for the second Saturday Art Walk of October, which is tomorrow evening in the beautiful, misty weather of our area. Contemporary Textiles, six artists who take tradition to new levels. So I have three guests, three of the artists here. Margaret Teary. Hi, Margaret.
Hello, Carol.
And Cheryl Silverblatt.
Hi, Carol.
And Shelley Hodges.
Hedges.
Hedges. It says that right there.
Hi, Carol.
Clean my glasses. And Shelley is a Washingtonian, so we're, you know, giving equal access here.
That's very kind.
That's good. I'm glad you appreciate it. And all of them have been on the air over the years, so no virgins today. But the work, is all of this work new work?
For the most part, I think it's a mixture of past work and new work. I have two new pieces, and Shelley may have some new work as well.
I have a mixture of new and old work. I'm showing an ongoing series of work that started in 2005. It's called Letters from People I Don't Know Anymore. And I started the series in 2005. And three of the pieces are from earlier years, mm-hmm. but four of them are brand new 2012 pieces. So
over the years, you develop new people who you don't know anymore, right?
No, I've been saving letters since I was a child. Okay. I have a big suitcase full of them.
Oh, wow.
And in
the
late 1990s, I decided that instead of just having them
hauling
there
around.
In my life, I wanted to do something with them.
So what are you doing? And then we're going to get back to an overview, but I don't know your work, so tell us what you're doing.
Well, I guess I call myself a mixed media textile artist because that gives me the freedom to do whatever I want without any real labels. But this work is all quilted, and the work I'm showing at Cala is all framed. Sometimes my pieces are too big to frame.
But as in what?
Quilts that need to be hung on a bar because they're too large to frame.
You're talking full.
Yes.
Full size. Yeah.
But
okay.
These quilts are anywhere from, 1 foot by 8 inches to 4 foot by 3 foot.
Okay.
And so they're all frameable.
That's quite a range.
And they're floated on a mat and then framed. And they're pieced and quilted with a fabric backing, but they're made with letters. And so...
Whoa. Wait a minute.
You'll have to come to the show.
I'm sure. You're talking paper letters?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I've cut up all of these old letters and envelopes and stamps and made pieces out of them.
And do I presume that these quilts would never be washable?
You're right about that. Yeah.
That's why you
especially
frame
since
them.
They're framed. Yeah. That would be awkward.
They're framed.
Carol, it's wall art.
Yep, definitely.
Yeah. When she says quilted, it's the techniques she's using, but it's not like grandma's quilt.
Okay.
Yeah,
I can't wait to see this.
Well, there's an intimacy to quilting. You know, traditionally they're quilts on our beds, they're handmade. People spend hundreds of hours sometimes making them, and there's an intimacy to letter writing, too, that we've lost through email and immediate constant texting and all of that. Mm-hmm. And so it seemed appropriate that I should quilt them.
Well, I think this is a perfect example of Shelley's work and my two new pieces as well of taking these traditional textile forms, quilting, and in my case, tapestry, which is really an ancient textile technique, and bringing more contemporary ideas and using contemporary materials. Shelley is working with materials that are not often associated with quilts, all the personal letters she saved. And one of my pieces is woven in raffia, and that is not a traditional tapestry weaving material. So I think these are perfect examples of how we've really brought a new contemporary feeling to these classic textile techniques.
Can you, for folks who may not be familiar, tell what a tapestry is?
A tapestry...
What makes something a tapestry?
Well, technically, something is a tapestry if it is not woven from selvage to selvage or edge to edge. tapestries, of course, we know mostly the 15th through 17th Gobelin century tapestry. Gobelin is technically not a hand-woven tapestry, actually.
Oh, dear.
It's an embroidery, but tapestry...
That's why I'm asking.
And it's wonderful to hear somebody say Gobelin, because that is a very famous tapestry weaving spot in France. But tapestries, hand weaving cloth, you use a shuttle and it traditionally goes from selvage to selvage or edge to edge. And in tapestry, you're building the image or picture as you weave. So you're creating a textile and a picture as well, or and an image. And so you weave often in segments or sections, and it is not woven as the way a traditional cloth is.
And you draw it out first, usually?
You can, or you don't have to. Traditionally, cartoons were created, and I have woven a few tapestries using cartoons. And if you're weaving something particularly large, a cartoon is very helpful. These
cartoon,
two new pieces,
by the way, does not mean Daffy Duck.
No, Mickey Mouse. No Daffy Duck. No cartooning. It is literally a sketch or a outline of what you're going to be weaving, and it guides you through the weaving. The two new pieces that I've brought to the show that Margaret has curated for us are, I did not create cartoons for them, and so they have a real nice spontaneous feel.
They are really wonderful.
Yeah, nice.
Thank you, Margaret.
I've seen Cheryl's work since I've known her, and this is, to me, this is definitely a breakthrough, which is always exciting when you see an artist's work. We all build, and then every once in a while, boom, we take a giant step.
Cool.
And her technique is so clean and professional, and then to take that into this new realm, I'm very happy for you, Cheryl.
And Cheryl, how large are your works generally?
Oh, gosh. I have woven very small intimate tapestries. And these pieces are 12 by about 12 inches wide by about 24 inches long. So they're, in tapestry terms, they're modest size, but they have a presence, I think.
I'm sure. It sounds like it. Is the show... Well, Margaret, I want you now that we've come this way, and then we're going to get to go back, but I would like if you gave an overview, since you are curating the show, and, of course, you work and do a lot of stuff at the Astoria, the AVA Fiber Arts Academy. And I also would appreciate your telling us who else is going to be here. I was wondering, we're talking textiles, so we now have a weaver, a rather unusual quilter. I'm still can't quite get my head around
this. Okay, we have a tapestry weaver, which is
tapestry
Cheryl.
Weaver.
We have a quilter, Shelley. Mm-hmm. We have Barbara Setsu Pickett, who has shown at the AVA in the early 2000s when I created two shows, two different years there. She was... had her own show one year, and then she was in a group show the next year. She works in velvet, and her current work, she has five pieces. They're small. As she said, she can weave about an inch of velvet in a day.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
That's remarkable.
Yeah, and her work is done on a manual jacquard loom in Florence, Italy. And she was there this summer and wove three pieces, and those three pieces... they're new pieces, and two older pieces are in the show.
Wonderful.
So that she's a velvet weaver.
And she was your teacher?
She was my teacher.
Yes.
The Annan Barrett, who hung the show, she and I were in class together in 1975, and she was a young woman. She is teaching now in Portland, and she has gone through different phases in the textile arts. Now she's doing felting. She got, last summer, she went to the Middle East, and in Turkey, and was inspired to do felting there, and her pieces are large. That's Annan. So that's felting.
That's interesting because in order, when you felt, you start even larger.
Right.
And then bring it down.
She said it shrinks 40%.
Yeah.
Then we have Lena Riker.
Oh, Lena Riker.
Lena Mila Riker. Mm-hmm. She is self-taught. And she's local. People will know her. Her work is just beautiful.
Local with a Finnish accent.
Yeah, really. And she is self-taught. Some of her work is the Rhea, which is a knotting technique.
Yes, yes.
You know, think Persian rugs. And
My mother did Rhea.
Oh, then you know.
Oh.
And so wow. And then she also has some weaving. Woven. She has one woven piece up.
One woven piece.
Yeah.
Right.
So it is quite a diverse and quite a full show. What about you, Margaret?
I created the show. I am not in the show.
Oh.
The sixth person is
Vicky.
Vicky, thank you. Vicky Decree, and she works in a quilting style also, but she does faces, and her work is nothing like Shelley's work.
No,
so
I'm sure.
So we have six people, and I want to emphasize to the audience that if you are a collector, now is the time to start collecting fiber arts or textile arts. The work is reasonably priced. If you were buying a painting by an unknown, you would be paying four times what these people are asking, and they are at the top of their field, and you put your grandkids through college by buying now.
Okay, now
Thank you, Margaret.
A non-commercial radio station.
Sorry about that.
However,
it's not my work.
However, it is the arts, and by golly, everyone who comes into my space here is promoting the arts, and that's basically life affirming. And so I'm all for it. So let's just run over now. This is from 5 until 8 tomorrow at Gala, and that is on Marine Drive between 10th and 11th. It is two doors down from the Lightbox Art Photographic Gallery, which is showing Spooky Show 4. This is the fourth year of the Spooky Show. And also right around the corner from Imogen, which is showing Sarah Tabbert from Alaska with her wood art prints, Out of the Woods. So there's this whole little art gallery area that
is... It's a cluster.
It is, and it's only come about in the last 2 years, maybe.
Could I give the days open?
Yeah.
That we're going to be open Thursday, Friday, 1 o'clock to 6 p.m., and Saturday, Sunday from noon to 4 p.m. So if you want to see your own... come in at a different time, then call and make an appointment.
Right. And in the meantime, tomorrow night is a very rich night to be in Astoria to see this, but it's true. It's good when you can walk through some of these exhibits alone. So, Shelley, when do you get a chance to work? Now, I have to say, Margaret is, her work is this art. Am I right? You don't have a day job. This is
no.
your day job.
Well, yeah, and the Fiber Arts
the
Academy.
The Fiber Arts
teaching,
Academy, right.
Et cetera, and so
right.
forth.
Right. What's the number over there, by the way, if someone wants to get more involved in textiles?
503-325-5598.
Okay.
We have a website, www.astoriafiberarts.com. We also have a Facebook page, and we do have classes.
Yeah.
Going
so
on.
So if you want to be one of those people that Margaret speaks about next year, you go in and take some classes. And Cheryl, I believe, is... I used to have a day job.
Now I am
all art.
I'm retired from my day job, and I'm so happy to be in this art space.
Aren't you happy to be in this community where art is so exciting? Didn't
so
always used to
happy.
Be that way, did it, Margaret?
No.
Margaret goes way back, as do I, of course. but Shelley, since I don't know your history, and I do suspect you're substantially younger, and oh, you also do have a day job.
Actually, I have a night job,
Margaret. Wait a minute.
Margaret and Carol
wait a second.
Everybody.
Maybe we shouldn't talk about this on the
oh,
air,
no,
Shelley.
It's a very respectable night job.
I see.
Don't worry.
No, it's true that Shelley is the one of the names and faces behind Pelicano Restaurant on the Peninsula, and here's another crossover. Last week you heard from Diane Marshall about the Water Music Festival. If you get a ticket for the whole thing, and it is going to be a splendid festival, then you also get in on a reception at A reception
Pelicano
at Pelicano.
Yes, we're hosting yes. Bravo. That tonight.
That's tonight or tomorrow night? Tomorrow night.
Oh, pardon
Saturday
me.
Night.
Yeah, it's tomorrow yes. night. I'm rushing there after the opening
there
tomorrow.
There you go.
There we go. Yeah, we've hosted
so,
it for several
so,
years now.
So here are all of the links. Thank you all for coming in. I wish we had a whole hour to talk, but best of all would be to get over to the gallery. Hopefully tomorrow night you'll all be there. Oh, no, you won't be.
I will
oh,
be there.
Will.
I will
You're
be there from 5 until 8, and then I will go and
Holy
host the
moly.
Reception.
Wow, you are.
Yeah, but to answer your question earlier, after I drop off my 5-year-old to kindergarten,
oh, that-
I go to the studio for 2 hours
wow.
every school day, and mm-hmm. longer if I can, and then I come home mm-hmm. and act like a housewife for a while and a good mama, and then I go to work at
oh,
3
my goodness.
In the afternoon. So
go see her letters.
What a
knows
woman.
What they're going to say. Yes.
It's just what all working people yeah. do
and,
that have
and
families.
And some of the people in this room used to be like that.
Yeah.
But they've all
it's pretty much what everybody
aged
does.
A bit. So that's yeah. you have that to look forward to, too.
All right.
Yes, Margaret, last word.
If you want a Margaret Theory fix, go to the River Sea Gallery. My work is up there.
Aha. Yes. Okay. Thank you so much, all three of you. Again,
thank you, Carol.
Kala Hipfish, and it will be tomorrow evening during Astoria Art Walk. A little bit of music, and I have another person who's opening tomorrow evening as well at the River Sea, speaking of which. KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook.
If it ain't got that swing, do ba da ba do ba da ba do ba da ba do ba da ba. Well, it don't mean a thing. What you got to do is sing. Do ba da ba do ba da ba do ba da ba do ba da ba. Well, it makes no difference if it's sweet or hot. Just hit that rhythm, give it everything, everything you got. But it don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing. Do ba 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 do ba. But if it loses that song, she just leaps up so high. But it's not but it's not so simple, but it's not but it's not. But if people think it's dumb, but it's not a little long time. And we'll say it later. But it's long, but it is sad, but it's not a little time. But it's not that.
All that fabulous music is Swing Fever, and they are playing a couple of times. They're going to be tomorrow night, Saturday night at 7:30 in Klatskanai at the Donovan Woolley Auditorium. And then on Sunday, they are doing a free concert at the Water Music Festival, of which we just spoke, and that's 2 o'clock at the Hilltop Auditorium. Both of those are high school auditoriums that are well used by their communities. Well, my next guest is another friend who is opening this weekend, and that is at the River Sea Gallery. Jody Miller is here, and the name of the show is Phone Home, which, I'm glad you gave it that name. We have an idea of what
it's
we're talking
about.
Yeah, it's a natural. Let me just ask you something. Do you have anything also over at the Lightbox in the Spooky Show this year?
I do not. Okay. I do not have anything in the Spooky
okay.
Show.
Because I was introduced to Jody's work actually at Old Town Framing and then at Riversea and at Lightbox. And it's just wonderful because she is one of our preeminent photographers in the area. We have some wonderful photographers. So what the title tells us something, photos of phone booths at night.
Yes.
What prompted you to do this?
I started noticing that phone booths are disappearing. Phone booths as we used to know them, the Superman phone booth with little stainless steel glass box that with the folding doors that mm-hmm. Superman would come out of. And
all the time.
Since the advent of the cell phone, the phone booths are just disappearing. I mean, people are not using them anymore, and the phone companies are quietly picking them up and carting them away. So the North Coast, I noticed, happens to still have several, although they are fast disappearing. Mm-hmm. And I started photographing them at night, sometimes in the rain, that atmospheric look that gives them that come hither look, begging you to come inside and seek shelter and drop a dime and call someone.
A dime?
Drop a dime, as they say.
Yeah, I think it's up to at least...
It's up to a quarter now. Yeah. But
so, you know, on the practical level, mm-hmm. stepping away from the art level, I have to say it's really a drag because not everybody, I know this comes as a shock to most people, but not everybody has a cell phone,
that's
including
true.
Yours truly. Mm-hmm. And if you need a phone, it's very hard. It used to be also you could go to some of these pay phones and they gave you specials mm-hmm. like, you know, 4 minutes for a dollar to speak to...
I know. And the phone booths in the North Coast are being used. People do use them.
Oh, good. Okay. So where did you find them? Did you go looking for them? Is that how you...
I just started noticing them. Mm. The first one I photographed was the one on Commercial Street outside of Deals 2. And I photographed it at night. I thought, isn't that interesting? You know, this phone booth, I've driven by it a million times and I never noticed it, but it's really got this nice kind of... feel about it. It's an iconic thing. It's part of the disappearing culture of the 20th century.
I wonder if a lot of other people could say that too. Mm-hmm. Where is she talking about? So this is right on Commercial.
Right on Commercial at 11th, 10th, 10th.
Yeah, something like that between 10th and 11th.
And then there's another one that was just in front of City Hall that I never noticed until it was pointed out to me, and now it's already disappeared because of the new park that's going in.
Oh.
So I photographed that one at dawn.
Good.
In the
right,
you know. But I got a picture of it before it disappeared. Mm-hmm. But there are many that are already gone. Mm-hmm. But I managed to take about 15 photographs of Seaside and Astoria and the road in between, mm-hmm. The two towns. That I've found about, seven or eight phone booths to shoot. And these are all North Coast phone booths.
Yeah, yeah.
In LA, there are not any anymore. They are gone in California. Most of California,
wow.
Southern California, they're gone. You'll see the half, you know, the half booth,
right,
on the wall booth, but it's not the same.
No, that shell kind of thing.
I call them the Jim Rockford phone booths from the 70s and from the Rockford Files.
Right.
You'd always see them in a phone booth during the show sometime.
Oh, I like the old ones where, you know, like say Superman or the guy who's down at the corner calling the guy in the apartment above saying you're being watched or whatever.
Yeah.
You know.
There's many, many iconic phone booth scenes in movies. And
exactly. So do you think this is true all over the United States as well?
That they're disappearing.
Gone? Yeah.
There are still some. Yeah. There are still some in the Midwest that people are sending me now. I put out a call to people for send me locations of phone booths, and they're sending me locations, but I can't get to Michigan and I can't get to Kansas. And you know,
you have to tell them to take a picture.
But I am getting some locations, some nice locations of.
So you might have to take a trip, Jody.
Yeah, probably.
Other than
road
LA.
Trip.
Other than LA. So just a little background. Mm-hmm. You're a photographer. You also have I wouldn't even call it a day job. It's kind of because you have to go away to do it, don't you? The one you do. Well, you are a radio person as well.
Yes.
Right here in the neighborhood. But also, what do you do in LA?
I work at ABC Television in the promotion department. And I'm a graphic artist and animator, and I do the promos for the network shows on ABC.
So do you use your photography there?
I have, yes. Mm-hmm. I have used my photos for backgrounds of the graphics. I'm represented by Getty Images, so the station can buy my work and mm-hmm. use it, and they mm-hmm. have.
Wow, cool.
Landscape work.
Cool. But how much time do you spend up here?
I only get to spend about a week every month, or week every 4 to 5 up at in Astoria. And unfortunately, I'd like to retire here, but so far I still need to keep my day job.
Yeah. Yeah, which is 1,100 miles away, but who's counting? Yeah. Well, this is delightful. Again, this show is at Riversea, which is right on Commercial between 11th and 12th on the north side. And it's full of lots of goodies, including Noel Thomas's show, which opened last week, which is the The Arrow 2, Ode to the Arrow 2, the recently retired pilot boat. And they had a one-hour teaser last week, but tomorrow night we'll feature Jody and Noel's work. What are you shooting now? I mean, you did that beautiful book of Colombian Cafe, so yes. you do...
I have an enormous body of work. I've been shooting photographs for 35 years.
Wow.
So I'm really focusing on my night photography now.
Oh, you are.
I do as much night photography as I possibly can.
But a lot of different subjects.
But all different subject matter.
Yeah.
Yeah, farmhouses and cityscapes and, you know.
Yeah. Well, I was just thinking, since you put the word out on phone booths and you're getting all these locations, if you put the word out on KMUN, you never know, because this is going out worldwide. You might get an invitation to Halifax or China.
It's true. Yeah. I get people emailing me, you've got to come see this one in Amish country. It's out in the middle of a cornfield. You know?
Well, folks have to look at your stuff and at least try to get the feeling. But you do. I know your atmospheric kind of talents. So I'm looking forward to seeing this show. I don't have a time, but it's generally from 5 to 8?
5 to 8.
Yeah.
On Saturday. Yeah,
tomorrow evening. So, well, welcome home, Jody. I guess, are you at the beginning of your week or at the end of your week?
I'm afraid I'm at the end of my week.
Well, at least you caught the sunny weather. Of course, you don't need it because you're going south. So enjoy the rain.
I don't know if you, I'm also participating in the Cannon Beach Photo Review, which is down the road at Cannon Beach this weekend.
And actually, that is opening tonight.
It is opening tonight.
Right. That's from 6 to 8 at the Cannon Beach Gallery.
It's a nice, nice exhibit.
It sounds wonderful. It was a wonderful conception, and the show is up through the 31st of October. So the photo review reception. Are you going to be down there tonight?
Yes, I am.
Woo! You got a busy schedule.
And all weekend.
Because it's ongoing, isn't it?
It's an ongoing event. You interview with various media people and gallery curators and kind of expose your work to them. And it's a nice way for emerging photographers to get their work seen.
Gallery curators... All over,
but mostly the Seattle and Portland are the ones participating in this one.
Mm. Nice idea.
Oh, it is a really nice idea.
Yeah. Good. Okay, so catch Jody tonight at the Cannon Beach Gallery, tomorrow night at the Riversea, and when she's here next month. Thanks so much for coming in, Jody.
Thank you, Carol.
It's always good to see you.
Same here.
Okay, let me put on a little bit of music. This is another tune from Holly Neer, who will be here again Thursday, October 18th, 503-325-0010, coastradio.org, 91.9 KMUN, 89.5 KTCB.
Is child abuse for which our taxes pay? Soldiers are just children who have been denied the right to play. So don't send our children out as the first line of defense, and then stand on patriotism to try to make some sense of war. The use of torture is just fascist in the shadow of Guantanamo. Don't spend your hard-earned money on this deadly horror show. Desperation is a mighty gun, and rage is a poison bullet. Put the trigger in a shaking hand, and fear will come to pull it because of war. The greatest of these offenses is the rape of body and spirit. Trauma of war.
Well, the roads may be closed if the rain keeps up. But right now, the arts are open. And the Liberty Theater team is back, or I should say the McTavish Room team. Is that what we're calling this now? What are you calling this, Sen? What are you calling the whole thing?
The whole shtick is Reader's Theater at the Liberty Theater in the McTavish Room.
Oh, this sounds like the Clue, right? In the green room?
Right. With the ranch and the candlestick.
Exactly, yeah. I got it. Colonel that was my favorite. Who said that?
I said that, yeah.
Oh. Professor Plum.
Yeah. Do you know what we're talking about?
A little bit.
She must be younger or something. I don't know.
Definitely.
Anyways, my guests are the familiar voices you heard, Sen and Gavo, and Rose Marie Baker Monahan from the Liberty. Sen is putting this whole thing together, and Betty Smith. And Betty, welcome.
Welcome.
Come on a little closer. And what is your role this?
I am currently the president of the Liberty Theater.
Board of Directors.
Oh.
Of the Board of Directors, yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's good to know. I thought maybe you were going to get up on stage. Or, you know. Not this time. Well, I noticed that the show that you're doing has been changed, and that's very kind of you to do my show.
Thank you.
What is the name of your show?
The name of the new show is The New Man.
And what is my name?
Your name is Carol Newman.
That's very clever.
Oh, Newman.
Very clever.
Took you a while, didn't it?
It does. I've been at the computer all day reading.
Oh, God, that's a scary business. Okay, so New Man by William S. Gregory.
Yes.
And it has nothing to do with me, folks. I'm not new and I'm not a man anyway. So what is this? What is this play?
New Man is a play about the differences between European and American definitions of passion.
Ooh.
That's very funny.
It's a very, very funny show where we have a brother and sister team who are from somewhere in Europe. And the man is a gigolo. And he's,
wait a minute, this isn't the new man, is it?
No, the new man is the American who comes to save. He comes into the gigolo's life and learns to become a gigolo.
Oh, great. Oh, geez. I thought it
Yet
was
it all
be
ends
uplifting.
Up, it is uplifting. It's very, very funny. A lot of tongue in cheek.
I can tell.
Yet the American male ends up becoming in love with the American female by being themselves.
Ah, that's lovely. Now, I noticed that you're playing, are you the old gigolo or the new gigolo?
I am the new man.
Oh, that's lovely.
I play Hanklin.
Hanklin?
Hanklin,
that's
yes.
That's a first name?
It is. My parents couldn't figure out whether they wanted to name me after Benjamin Franklin or Hank Aaron, so they came up with Hanklin.
Okay. Now, the other folks in it, Alan Batchelder, I just can imagine.
And he's playing
a
Vodoli Kevlicek.
Oh, he does accents well, too.
He does.
He's hilarious. And then you have two of my favorites who were in the first production.
Who were in Monograms, yes.
Rhonda Alderman and Lori Wilson. So that's very exciting. Mm-hmm. They did a fabulous job on
and
the
we
last
have
one.
A new narrator for this one is Thomas Smelzer.
Oh, I don't even know. Well, I don't think I do, but maybe I do. Thomas Smelzer. Good. Okay. So this is William S. Gregory. Is he another Portland?
He's another Portland playwright, and he was. We're also doing
the third
show is Saint in a Cage.
Okay,
written by him also. Yes.
Okay, and I've been telling people about how exciting it is that you've put this together using regional playwrights and the advantages thereof, which are
The fact that they're local to the area. And they're artists also in their own right, and they have they're willing to let us read their scripts, which keeps us all together as one. And they're friends of mine. We get to do Sam himself has written probably about 30 plays.
Wow.
That I'm slowly working through, and he's had a lot of his shows produced in Portland.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just kind of a keeping it going. Mm-hmm. And what it does offer the Astoria audience is something new, mm-hmm. something that hasn't been heard of before, that, you know, with the possibility maybe later down the road we could do a full production mm-hmm. of something.
And it is affordable.
Correct. Mm-hmm. It is affordable.
Which is wonderful to have new material that we can get on. Now, is he going to be able to be here?
I don't know. He has been invited, yet I don't know whether he will not, or whether he will or will not be.
Okay, so now let's make sure, because this is unusual. It is Wednesday and Thursday nights. This coming Wednesday and Thursday, that's October 17th and 18th, 7 o'clock in the McTavish Room, which is that gorgeous room upstairs in the Liberty. Liberty is at 12th and Commercial. And it is suggested that you call for tickets, is that right?
Tickets are on sale in the box office.
In the box office. Right. So that's, if you want to call, 325-5922, extension
55,
or stop by. Somebody will be there.
Yes.
And Betty, what do you have to tell us here?
Well, we want to take this opportunity to make sure that everybody knows that the Liberty Theater is going to present a unique event, and it's going to be November 10th, which is a Saturday from 2 to 5 p.m., and it's called the $99 Art a la Carte Sale, and this is a fabulous fundraiser for the Liberty Theater, and we feel a statement about the inherent value of art. It's going to be one size, one price, and one of a kind, but we have asked the artist to sign the back.
Mm-hmm.
So the little bit of mystery is, if you really know our local artist, you may be able to identify it, and you may not. We've just been really blessed by the generosity of the artistic community. And
when you say one size, have you specifically asked them to contribute? Do you mean
we have an 8 by 10?
8 by 10.
Okay. 8 by 10.
Any medium?
We let them choose the medium. Okay. We ask that it be unframed and not matted. And again, that they sign it on the back, but that they give us a bio about themselves, so that at the time of purchasing the art, we can give them obviously who their artist is and information, and they can
how to reach them
to get the front signed, mm-hmm. and to be able to find out more about their work, whether it be their website or that they're in a gallery. We have a wonderful event planned with complimentary food from Wicked Good, which is Eric Jenkins.
Oh, okay.
And live music and beer by Fort George and wine from Walnut City Wine Works.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's a party.
And it's at the train depot, which this will be the first time the public will be able to get into the train depot.
Wow.
With the restoration that's going on. He will do a grand opening, Sam Johnson, in January. But
Are things going to be on easels then? As opposed to on the wall?
We're waiting until later in November to see what the walls look like and determine that later. But
right.
we're going to try and hang as much without actually physically putting a nail in a wall,
because
it's newly restored.
Yes. Well, there are a lot of easels.
So fun cool. food, fun atmosphere, 2 to 5. People can still go on to the art walk
now,
for downtown Astoria.
What happens? Do you just drop by and hope for it, or you buy a ticket in advance without telling the amount, or
you buy a ticket in advance?
Okay.
The space is limited, so
okay. So again, it's that 325-5922, extension 55.
Yes.
And this is called
the $99 Art a la Carte.
I love it. $99, 99%. Okay, that's delightful. That sounds like a lot of fun. And especially for folks, again, as Margaret was saying, get in on these, the local artists are amazing.
They are.
And very generous, generous.
And there's some well-known names in the, who have donated,
sure.
And there's some up-and-coming newbies to the art scene. And
I like the idea of signing it on the back so that, as you say, some people will recognize. On the other hand, the main thing is to buy something that touches your heart.
Absolutely.
And to support the local arts and theater. So, wonderful. Okay, new man. Sen Newman. I'm going to call you that. I'll go by Carolyn Cavo, and you can be Sen Newman for a week anyway.
For a week, we can do that.
Coming to the McTavish Room at the Liberty Theater Readers Theater, by William S. Gregory. That is this Wednesday and Thursday, 7 p.m. And again, that's this week. And then ahead, November 10th, 2 to 5, at the train depot where the brew cup was.
Yep, right.
And we kind of walked all around it and stuff. Now's your chance to get on the inside.
Absolutely.
So, excellent.
And don't forget, right after Newman,
yeah.
on Wednesday and Thursday, the Astoria International Film Festival starts.
Yes.
And that'll run through the weekend also at the Liberty.
And that's Astoria International Film Fest, so it's AIFF online, and that always has some incredible treats. So check it out. What's the Liberty website?
Liberty-theater.org.
Don't forget the dash.
Yeah.
And the theater is with an R-E or an E-R?
E-R.
E-R.
Just
keep us
everyone.
Guessing.
Yep.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you, Karen.
Betty Smith from the Liberty Board and Rosemary Baker Monahan from the director of the Liberty, and Senin Cabo, the artistic director of the, wait, let me see if I can get it, Reader's Theater at the Liberty Theater in the McTavish Room.
There you are.
You got
Very
it.
Very good.
With the wrench. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Carol.
Okay. Have a little music from a group that's going to be at the Fort George this coming Sunday. That's the Marvins. Let's have a listen. And we got one more guest coming in who just flew in, and I'm very excited to have him here. With the Marvins playing in the background, I just want to let you know that this is the last weekend for the Coaster Theater's summer repertoire, a week of August, Friday and Saturday at 8 o'clock. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest opened last night. I'm going. It's only three weekends, this, next, and next, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at 7:30, 129 West Bond. Next week, there's a Sunday show as well. Don't miss it. A Fine Monster You Are at the Barn Community Playhouse. Water Music Festival is tonight at Hilltop with the Miramont Trio, tomorrow at 1 o'clock at Oysterville Church, Scott Kreitzer, and 7:30 tomorrow night, Golden Flute Chamber Trio. And Sand Trap is Matt Zeltzer, Sand Dune is John Bunzow, Alan Byers at the Schooner Lodge in Neatarts, Imogen Gallery, 5 to 7 Mixer, Cannon Beach Photo Review, we talked about 6 to 8 at the Gallery, and Eric Sappington, 6 to 8 at the 2nd Street Public Market in Tillamook. Again, the Astoria, 2nd Saturday, and Nature Transformed, Capturing Its Essence in the Arts at the Pioneer Museum in Tillamook. 1 o'clock is Your New Dog, Trash On Show. It's fabulous. It's for Cardam Recycling, 7 to 10 tomorrow night at the NCRD in Nehalem. Cannon Beach Library, Cambry Cruise with Burn Down the Ground at 4 p.m. Auditions for Astor Street Opry, Scrooged in Astoria, noon to 1:30 Saturday. Sunday is 6 to 7. Katie and Luke at the Big O Saloon, 7 to 10 tomorrow night. Acoustica, 7 to 9 at River Zen Yoga. And Swing Fever, again, is Donovan Woolley tomorrow night and Sunday at the Hilltop Auditorium. And Margot Tufaux at Sand Dune tomorrow night. And One World, One Sky and Long Beach Bolstad Approach with your kites. Watercolor Monotype Workshop, 9 to 5 tomorrow at Studio 11. And I have a phone number if you need it. You can call me after. And the Cranberrian Fair is going on. Don't forget that there's a FERC public workshop, public hearing on Oregon LNG on Monday, 6 p.m. at the Warrington Community Center. And the Candle Walk on Sunday night and Soup for the Soul Sunday. Aaron Meyer at the Coaster, classically trained rock violinist, and a Spectrum of Song at 3:30 at the Performing Arts Center with our own Dee Guidi and Kelsey Nelson. Opera through Broadway, art songs, everything else. Okay, my last guest is patiently waiting, and I can't even imagine. Well, he was in the same time zone at least, so it's not so bad. But Bruce Holbert is here. Have you caught your breath?
I have.
Did you come straight here from the airport then?
I dropped my luggage off at the hotel.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So where are you from? Where do you live generally?
I live just outside of Spokane, Washington.
Oh.
But I'm from the Grand Coulee area, kind of rocky scabland, semi-desert country, a little like Eastern Oregon.
Which it sounds like speaks to your work.
Yeah, it much of it takes place there.
Now, the reason you're here is you, unfortunately, as of now, you're not giving a reading here in Astoria. You're taking part in Wordstock.
Right.
And when is that happening?
I read there Sunday at 11, but Wordstock is running throughout the weekend there.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And people, if you want more information, you can call us after the show or go online for Wordstock in Portland. Your book, Lonesome Animals, is this your first?
It's my first novel.
Mm-hmm. You've done other writing as well?
Or? Yeah, I published a number of short stories, and then my wife and I published a book. I'm a high school teacher, and my wife and I published a book about famous and successful people recalling high school teachers that had enough, or teachers in general who had a powerful effect on them.
Wow, that's fantastic. And what do you teach?
I teach English.
Okay.
I used to teach all the advanced placement kids, but I tend to spend more time with the kids who are kind of resistant to school.
Good for you. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I can imagine that after reading about this book, I haven't had a chance to read it, you might be able to reach kids in a way.
They're a little like I am, I'm afraid to say.
Well, let me just read a little bit. In his breakout novel, Lonesome Animals, Bruce Holbert completely reinvents the Western novel, the crime novel, and the noir novel through the eyes of one of literary history's fiercest anti-heroes, aging ex-lawman and ruthless killer, Russell Strahl. But it is a novel, it's fiction, but I understand it's based on your grandfather?
Well, it's based on an incident that was the seed of the book. Was my great grandfather murdered my grandfather, and as I got older and my grandmother passed away finally, my dad started to tell me more and more about that. And I became more and more interested in trying to imagine, because there weren't very many facts or details, and the murder took place when my dad was only a few months old. But I became interested in how that could happen. And so this is a a story that, or this is a book that sort of evolved in my considering the forces that would make something like that happen.
Were you able to do some research, newspaper articles or anything like that, or did you just talk to people, or mostly in your...
I grew up in that area, so a lot of the research I knew, and mm-hmm. then, but there were some local histories, and my grandmother is actually my grandmother and great-grandfather were the pioneers of that country. And so there's a lot of word of mouth stories, things like that. I was able to drive down to the old homestead and do those things. Mm-hmm. So it was a kind of a combination of studying things and digging into the history, and also just sort of what for people in that area is common knowledge.
Mm-hmm. And you have your own experience in this kind of dark world.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell us something about that?
Well, when I was 22, I killed one of my college roommates in an accident at the OMAC Stampede, which is a big rodeo event up in Washington. He handed me a pistol. He was doing a police internship when we were in college, and he handed me a pistol, and I mishandled it. Mm-hmm. And he died as a result. And, it was, well, as you can guess, it was devastating for years. Mm-hmm. But it was also strangely, his parents made me promise to finish college. That's the only thing they wanted from me. And to find yourself at the bottom of what you think of as your own existence, and to see such generosity was a powerful, powerful force.
Yeah. So you've created this story. I can't wait to read this book. I have some dark, beautiful, compelling, strange, vivid, and also the fact that you're an excellent, formidable storyteller. And I'm wondering where, since this seems so powerful, where, if anywhere, where do you go from here?
Oh, the myth of the West has always sort of fueled my work. I see it as a double-edged sword. It's dangerous for people. People fall into mythologies and end up behaving following a template, and they don't even know why they're doing what they're doing. I see it a lot as a teacher. I see kids who are trapped in stories they don't know how to get out of. And so it's the power of that. Well, I'm a student of mythology anyway, and it's a power of that Western myth that really drives a lot of what I'm doing. This book actually was kind of, it started off as kind of a lark. I was like, well, I think I'll do this because I really didn't have anything else to do. But I've got two other projects that are with my editor now.
Mm-hmm. Well, we are unfortunately out of time, and I wish I could tell all the listeners, at least the local ones, to come to Here or There and hear Bruce, because he's got some readings to do. And what you'll have to do is wait until he comes back. And in the meantime, if you are in the Portland area or going to be, or you know someone, let them know about Wordstock happening. Again, if you need more information, either go online or give us a call right after the show and see if you can check out Bruce Holbert. We'll be reading tomorrow. In the meantime, as soon as the book is available again, I understand it was sold out. Now,
oh, was it?
They're reprinting.
I did know that.
Yeah, I was going to have a copy, and then I got an email saying, so sorry, but they sold out, they're reprinting. So as soon as you can, it's Counterpoint is the publisher, I gather, and
yes,
you can check this out or request it at your local independent bookstore. Bruce, thank you so much for coming in, and I hope you'll have a little time to spend in Astoria before you head out again. So
thank you for having me, Carol.
Yeah.
I used to go see the Peter Iredale.
Oh, there you
years
go.
Years and years ago.
Check it out. Make peace, ask questions, stay aware, and stay tuned.